some churches believe in the power of healing. Some believe in the power of just believing and speaking something into existence.
But you know what? You can take that outside.
Some people believe in the power of tongues. And some churches, Southern churches more than any of them, believe in taking up serpents. Whereas,
those are few
naturally,
and far.
I don't think I'd want to take up serpents, but
those are few and far in between, I think.
They're still there, though.
I know, but they're few and far
in
between.
But the church is so fractionized in the different beliefs and gifts that God's given us. You're supposed to believe in all of these things in one church.
And then it makes you wonder when it, in the book of Revelations, when it says, you know, the different churches and the consequences for their behavior, makes you wonder when you attend a church and you see it or you feel it. And that's another thing too, is, you know, when you're a Christian and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, you're supposed to have that sensation, that feeling of the Holy Spirit, you know, poking you. I thought that was your conscience, but anyway. You know, anymore, I after watching the movie that we watched, to me, the whole concept of religion, and then when you told me about law and God's law, or, you know, the Moses bringing down God's law, it's to keep society in line. It is, you know, you think about monogamy, and you think about, because we are animals. Bottom line, we're animals, and we like to, we want to reproduce. It's genetic. You want to go out there and have sex with different people. But because religion tells you, society says, nah, you can't do that. Polygamy is wrong. Or, you know,
I don't necessarily think polygamy is wrong in this day and age.
You know, why? Who said?
We have, you know, different dispensations of time, different fractions. When Adam and Eve started out, it was a matter of conscience. Well, a matter of, I forgot what the heck they called it, actually. But after Adam and Eve fell, it was a matter of conscience up until Moses brought down the laws. Then it became the dispensation or the time frame of the law. Now, when Jesus came along, he said, no, ooh, now we're in the dispensation of
yeah, go ahead.
Grace. So therefore, we don't have to have the law or conscience. But the law of Christ and grace is written as a law in your heart.
Yeah. See, and hold that thought. I want to see Rob Thomas. So you were talking about the dispensation of grace. You know, and that's
dispensation or time frame.
And see, that's the other thing too, is there's so much when it comes to religion. And it's like any cult, I say the term loosely, group, clique, you have to know the lingo. You have to know kind of what you're talking about. And that's what I didn't like about, you know, going to church and being in with you. You have to know that stuff to fit in so that they know, ooh, they're one of us. Come sit at our table because you are one of us. You know the terminology. You know what you're talking about. I'm sorry, that's just the way I believe how some Christian thingies work. You know, my
fractions, groups.
My experience, my personal experiences. You know, that whole thing. And then how people take stuff out of
context.
Or they take it literally. You know, and I realize now,
yeah,
if you look at it differently and you
because
look
there's
at
a lot of symbolics.
Yeah, but if you look at it and you say the Bible isn't real and it's fairy tales, or not fairy tales, fables. Jesus gave great fables about the seeds that fall onto concrete, the seeds that fall in between the concrete. Those are great stories. I mean, they fit in. You can take those and fit them into your life today.
Well, that's the idea.
I know.
But most people don't think that.
They think, you know, you take a seed and simple as, and people go, oh, a seed. Like a seed seed? No, a seed of knowledge, a word, anything. And it plants like you do little children. You, when parents lie to their little kids, if you don't go to sleep, the boogeyman will come get you. You're planting a seed.
Yeah, you're terrorizing your child.
You're planting a seed. But people don't think that. But if you, you know, and that's kind of what helped me. And then viewing God as Father and not as God. But if I, and I am one of his children because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You view him as your father, and I can have temper tantrums. I can get angry. I can, you know.
God fully expects you to be that way.
Right.
You God, have a full range of emotions, and yet here you are as a child. Children have temper tantrums. They have questions. And Jesus himself said, when the time comes and people tell you things that they're from God, you're supposed to question the Holy Spirit and see if it's real or see if it's from the devil. You're supposed to stop and pray about it and say, I'm not sure. I don't take this on blind faith. God never told us to take anything on blind faith except his word. What other people tell you, you don't take on blind faith. You take
okay, his but word wait. See, now that's bogus right there because God's word came through man.
Yeah.
But yet, I'm not supposed to accept what man says.
The Bible says that he wants everyone to be healed. That you can take on blind faith.
Yeah, okay.
So if someone's laying their hands on you and praying for your healing, you can take it to the bank that God wants you healed and that this is a gift he's going to give you.
Okay, but wait
a
minute.
You just have to reach out spiritually and take it and go, okay, I'm healed.
Right. Okay, but God put a limit on your age. You're not going to live to be Methuselah's age or Moses' age or... What's the
in this present form,
Enoch no. or you know Eli or whatever the fuck it, I think it was Enoch that lived that went up to the heavens, but you're not to live that long. And to me, when you know you lay hands on a person and you're healing them, trying to you figure I want to die quickly so that I can go back to heaven where I came from to be with my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and my father. So why are you going to lay hands on me to keep me here in this frickin' hellhole?
Well, simply, I've asked God that a few times, and the answer was, I need you here to spread the word so that other people will eventually come to me and be saved through Jesus Christ, and I can take them too. So we're all a part of the grand scheme of things.
And your sole purpose in life
is the Great Commission that Jesus left behind. And yeah. To prove, and all the other apostles and prophets of old, Jesus was the one that said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit so that you can prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are sent by God, by my Father and by me, and so that you can deliver power and heal people and teach people. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can truly teach your spirit about God. You can't get...
So in other words, being a salesperson for Jesus Christ, the only way you can truly sell Jesus to a non-believer is having the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit uses your body as a vessel
exactly. To
sell and promote and recruit new cult members to Christianity.
Correct. Yes.
And then you get your little crowns of jewels.
Yeah, well.
I'm not going to have any because I'm not recruiting.
I'm not worried about that.
I'm not recruiting.
I'm not worried about that crown.
My crown will be empty.
But I was
jewelless.
I was told that he's not taking me. Not until he's ready.
Well, duh.
But here, I'm not alone in this. Moses begged God to die too. A few of the prophets and apostles.
We're going to beat you and work you till you can't work no more.
And this mule's plain tired of this earth.